Good morning. It's 37 minutes after the hour. Bill Arnold here. I'm going to have a little mini Bible study with my friend David Wheaton. So open your Bibles and let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 3. It says, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep." David, welcome.
Hey, good morning, Bill. Happy Easter week.
Happy Easter week to you. I just think it's a fantastic verse in 1 Corinthians 15. I love reading that. I love the reality of it, and I want to talk about it this morning with you.
Well, I think it's a important thing to talk about. You know, you think about everything going on in the world right now. Neil Gorsuch, who's just appointed to a lifetime appointment to the Supreme Court. There was a chemical weapon bombing over in Syria and a U.S. military response. There's the problem going on in North Korea with their aggression and nuclear weapons development and all the different things in the world. You could say these big geopolitical events going on in the world, but all those events will kind of fade into the background within 3 or 4 weeks. They'll still be there, but no one will be talking about what we're going to be talking about that happened 2,000 years ago that truly changed the course of history. And that was Jesus Christ dying on the cross and rising again. So this is a very apt and appropriate and important thing to talk about.
You forgot about the pulled muscle in my back when you were listing all those other things, but that doesn't matter. Let's talk about this one at a time. Christ died for our sins. That is so significant.
Yeah, well, these four propositions, let me just give a little credit where credit is due. I heard a message by Tom Pennington. He's a pastor down in Dallas at Countryside Bible Church. And so he gave a message on these four propositions of the gospel. So I'm going to be stealing a little bit from his message here. This isn't all original to me. But yes, those four propositions. It's Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised on the third day, and he appeared to many. Those four propositions make up the gospel, and that's what you just read in 1 Corinthians 15, and really are what Easter is all about. You know, there's five major religions in the world. There's Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, and Judaism. All the founders or leaders of those religions have died. Jesus died, Muhammad, Buddha, Abraham, Moses, they all died. But only one, Christianity, died for people's sins and then actually rose from the dead. And that's what makes Christianity truly unique. We serve a leader as Christians who overcame death and then promises the same to us. And so that first point about Christ died for our sins, that is so unique to the Christian faith. He didn't just die. You know, he didn't just, you know, wasn't just martyred or something. No, he actually died for our sins. And this is the core message of Easter, that Christ went to the cross to actually die for the sins of those who have sinned against God. And then that's, you know, to the Romans and Jews, the crucifixion was just plain murder, just killing someone they didn't want around anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But to God, Christ offered himself on the cross on behalf of us. It was the substitutionary sacrifice. It's that big doctrinal word, penal substitutionary atonement. Penal, he took the penalty, substitution, in our place, and it atoned. It made us right at one with God. That is the core of Easter, and that's something that we really shouldn't miss this week.
Mm-hmm. And for something to be made right, something needs to be sacrificed. That was something in biblical times everybody understood quite clearly.
Mm-hmm. And that was exactly the point. That's actually the second point. If you go to he was buried, that proved he was actually dead. His burial, we often don't talk about his burial. We talk about his death and his resurrection. But the second proposition is important because it wasn't just a resuscitation. It wasn't a trick. No, Christ actually physically died, like the animal sacrifices, the lamb, the spotless lambs were actually killed on Passover. And so that actually means that the sacrifice that he gave was satisfactory to God. It wasn't like some trick death. He actually died. And also his death, that proposition also proved that he actually rose from the dead. You can't rise from the dead unless you actually die. So that second one is actually important as well.
Mm-hmm. And David, even when Christ took 40 lashes, I mean, there was supervision over those 40 just so the person administering the beating didn't kill him, mm-hmm. because the chance of dying was pretty high just from that alone. And I think I think the person administering it was called the lictor, from where we get our expression to take a licking.
And, probably. Yeah. Hadn't heard. You're right, though, I think, because I think they usually give one lash short of 40. It was so brutal. And I think that's one thing about Easter, that it's easy and natural to focus on the physical suffering of Christ. And it was horrible. I mean, crucifixion, I don't think anyone's really designed ever, even since then, a more horrific way to die than crucifixion, hanging on a cross, sometimes for more than a day or two. And the suffocation, and just if you read about what crucifixion entailed, is, you know, only the sinful human mind could ever think of that. But it wasn't really the physical suffering that Christ went through that is unique to what he did. It was, or that was the most horrific part of it, I should say. It was the spiritual side of it. It was the, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was the taking of the world's sin on his shoulder. And remember, he's sinless and perfect. The divine one taking all our wretched sin on his shoulders and paying the price that we deserve to pay for that sin, and having his father temporarily turn his back on him and withstanding the judgment and wrath of his father over sins he didn't commit. That truly is the most horrific part of Easter weekend.
Mm-hmm. David, this is it's so powerful. And, you know, and we think about this, especially the week of Easter, but we should be focusing on the cross every day. And what Christ mm-hmm. did on the cross, because without the cross, there's no redemption.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And yeah,
we'll take a little break. And David, when we come back, sure. we'll continue to talk about that he was raised on the third, and he appeared to many. And we'll talk about the significance of those as well. It is 44 minutes after the hour. Talking to David Wheaton, my friend and host of the Christian Worldview. We'll be back in just a minute. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised on the third day. He appeared to many. Game, set, and match. That is the cornerstone of Christianity. I'm talking to David Wheaton, my friend. David, let's pick up where we left off. He was raised on the third day. That could not be any more significant as we look at Easter Sunday.
That is incredibly significant that he was raised on the third day. And really, the significance of that, basically, the Christian faith rises or falls on that. If it rises and falls on all of these four, but especially this one is so important because it proved that Christ had victory over our greatest enemy, which is death. Proved he had victory over sin, that he was a satisfactory sacrifice to God. God was pleased, rose, raised him from the dead, and proved he had victory over death. Which, why is that important? Because that's what he promises those who believe in him. So if he hadn't been able to rise from the dead and have victory over sin and death, well, why would we think we could when we die? But he proved, as the first one to do it, that he can give it to us for those who repent and believe in him. As Tom Pennington said in his message, it's the power of an indestructible life. And that's why the resurrection is the cornerstone of Christianity. And we can talk in a second about what are the consequences if Christ has not been raised. It's huge. Everything falls apart.
You know, David, when you think of Jesus saying, on the third day I will rise, on the third day I will rise, on the third day I will rise, how many times did he say that to his followers? And yet on the third day, Mary shows up at the tomb looking for the dead body. She showed up looking for the wrong Jesus. Because the real Jesus said he was going to rise.
Yeah, I mean, I thought about that living back in that time. You know, you read the Gospels and you think, how did everyone miss it? I mean, he's telling everyone, I'm the Son of God. I'm the Messiah. He's raising people, other people from the dead. He's healing people at will. He's walking on water. How do you miss these things and think, well, I'm not really sure. But you know what it is? We have hard hearts. We're blind. We're skeptical. You know, we must have faith like a child to believe. We get older and we get influenced by other things. And I think I probably would have been the same way. So I think it's easy to see it now looking back 2,000 years as we have the Bible all put together. But back then, he wasn't what they expected. They expected someone who was going to come, and they wanted the Messiah who was going to deliver them from the Roman political oppression. Not this suffering servant, as it talks about in Isaiah 53. And I think that the fourth point of these four propositions of the gospel, that he died, he was buried, he was raised. The next one is he appeared to many. This is critical as well, because not only did he do these first three things, but there's so much evidence that he rose from the dead. Now, in a court of law, Bill, you would know that just a witnesses of one or two witnesses would be beyond a reasonable doubt. If you had trustworthy witnesses, just one or two. Christ appeared to more than five, all the apostles, over, I think, 10 appearances in 14 different places, I think it is. But then at one time, he appeared to over 500 people at one time. I mean, that's beyond any reasonable doubt that this resurrection was fabricated. And the final thing I'll say about these four propositions is that you notice in that passage you read in 1 Corinthians 15, as it says, you know, the first three say he died according to the scripture, he was raised according to the scriptures. In other words, Paul's saying here, God's revelation in the scriptures can be trusted. And not only does it say that in the New Testament, but as you just mentioned, Bill, his death and how he would die are prophesied all over the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. So this shouldn't have been a shock to anyone, because this is what the Bible consistently taught over the millennia.
And it's such verifiable evidence that he rose from the dead, appearing to so many. David, if I wrote a book on the history of New York right now and excluded the 9/11 attacks, I'd be run out of town.
Right.
I mean, my book would be discredited instantly. And if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, and he would have been discredited instantly.
Well, that is one of the things that is so interesting about Christianity. You know, most religions, or maybe all religions, will never say something like it does further along in 1 Corinthians 15, where it says, if Christ has not been raised, Paul says, then our preaching is vain. Mm-hmm. Your faith also is vain. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Then those who have died in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. I mean, no other religion would say, look, if this didn't happen, then just go home, forget it, it's all over. It's you're wasting your time. It's not reasonable. You can't trust scripture. You're not forgiven of your sins. You can't have eternal life. In other words, this is the linchpin. If this didn't happen, it's sort of saying, we're so positive of this happening that if it didn't happen, you can just call me just most men, most to be pitied among men. And that's why the resurrection is so important to the Christian faith and to us personally, not just to the broad religious system, but to each of us personally, because it gives us hope that we can have the same power over sin and death that Christ has. We can have forgiveness of sins. We can have eternal life in heaven when we come to faith in Christ, when we repent of our sin and put our faith in who he is and what he did for us on that cross 2,000 years ago.
But just the reliability of the resurrection is without equal in our history. I mean, it is the most reliable event that's ever taken place.
Yeah.
Throughout all of history.
The new movie, The Case for Christ, about Lee Strobel's life, I haven't seen it yet,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, there's been lots of people like Lee who have been skeptical and have looked into the resurrection, the empty tomb and so forth. And, you know, I know it happened 2,000 years ago, but there's lots of things people look into. Did Jesus actually live? Was he actually a person named Jesus? Absolutely, yes. He's an extra-biblical writing. The empty tomb, all the different facts around the resurrection, people have looked into very deeply, you know, as almost like tried it legally. And no one's ever in 2,000 years been able to say, no, this absolutely could not have happened. The evidence leads us to believe that, yes, in fact, it did happen. And the Bible gives those evidences. Again, over 500 people saw him after he rose from the dead. That would stand up in any court of law.
Mm-hmm. And if you could reliably show us the bones of Jesus, I'd go, okay, then he didn't raise from the dead. Then I don't believe in Christianity anymore, because it's principle. Right. It's principle to our faith.
It is. It absolutely is. And I think that's the thing to focus on this Easter, is that realize that this isn't just a story. This is a true account of the Son of God coming to earth and living a perfect life and offering himself on the cross for the sins of mankind. So I would just encourage listeners today to read one of the gospel accounts this Easter of Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and his appearances. You know, maybe in Matthew or Luke or John, read one of them. To get a sense, you know, don't rely on just a passage maybe being read at church. Read the whole account yourself. There's a weightiness to that that will impress upon you deeply when you read the account of that part of his life and death. Read 1 Corinthians 15 that we've been talking about today. This is a great passage. It contains the gospel in a nutshell, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his appearances. And I think also it's important to realize that, you know, like we talked about earlier, realize that his physical suffering wasn't the greatest suffering. It really was taking the sins upon himself and feeling the wrath of his own father, who he is obviously one with, how difficult that must have been for him. And then considering personally how he went to the cross for your and my sin. It wasn't some obscure general sins of mankind. No, it was our sin that made him want to go to the cross and die for us. And that is just amazing love. You know, scarcely will a man die for a good man, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while you're at sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, we don't like to do anything for anyone who offends us, let alone die for them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what Christ did. He left his perfect home, his majesty in heaven, to come down and live amongst those he created and was abused and crucified by those he had created, which is incomprehensible in and of itself, and died for our sins. So as we think about these four assertions of the gospel, you know, for someone listening today, if you're not a believer, just think about these. Consider what Jesus Christ came to do for you. Understand your sinfulness and need to be reconciled and forgiven by God and come to him in repentance and faith. Easter week is a great time. Now is the day of salvation, but particularly Easter week, this would be a great time to do just that.
And I pray that the people who may not know Christ personally would be understanding that the word sin is significant and that you might think you're a good person and a pretty good guy or a pretty good girl, and you go, well, that's not what the Bible teaches about your condition. And to understand that you are a sinner in need of forgiveness and in need of a Savior.
That's exactly right, Bill.
Well, David, have a great Easter and blessings to you and your family and your mom and dad and your brothers and sister. And have a great week.
And blessings to you too, Bill. Thank you.
Yep, you bet. It's 57 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break and wrap things up.